We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m., and if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on Darnella Frazerier Award, an honorary Pulitzer Prize, and Educators Take Action.
And Washington offers joints for the people to get vaccinated. And Kamala Harris makes history at Capitol Pride.
But let's get right into it. Darnella Frazerier Award, an honorary Pulitzer Prize. The teen who captured George Floyd's death on her cell phone was awarded an honorary Pulitzer Prize on June 11th. The video, which led to worldwide protests over the 46-year-old Minneapolis resident's murder by former officer Derek Chauvin, his conviction, and police reforms across America, was recorded on May 25th, 2020. The Pulitzer Prize Board commended the teenager for courageously recording the tragic incident and bestowed Frazier with a special citation. The board said Frazier's video spurred protests against police brutality around the world, highlighting the crucial role of citizens and journalists' quest for truth and justice. Frazier has gotten widespread praise for her actions from people including President Biden, filmmaker Spike Lee, and Anita Hill. As the prosecutors congratulate each other, thinking of young Darnella Frazier, there is no case without her, journalist Anne Marie Lipinski tweeted during Chauvin's trial. The video recording she made is one of the most important civil rights documents in a generation.
Class. It's interesting to hear it referred to as a document, you know?
Yeah.
Documentation, yes. Mm-hmm. Man, this is dope.
Yes. You know, in moment of full transparency, I remember when this video first hit the interwebs and mm-hmm. it was spreading through the zeitgeist. I remember, of course, feeling some type of way in general. And where my feeling stemmed from was the amount of people watching and no one taking any type of action outside of yelling. And then also remembered, yeah, I can understand in the space of police interaction
yeah.
why people aren't, you know, doing more. And then I had an exception with people sharing it the way they were mm-hmm. and saying how crazy it was. And I was put off, right? Mm-hmm. And then I remember coming back around to that same idea and thought that I had initially with a different understanding of what that actually did and what that set off. And I still don't lean in towards the killings and brutality against mm-hmm. black and brown bodies. This is one of those things that it will be in the future, the way there are certain images when they put together edits a collage of videos mm-hmm. from like this the original civil rights era movement mm-hmm. and there's like the hosings that we all know exactly what video we're talking about
yeah.
the sit-ins and so on. This
dog
is
attacks.
Yes, this is something that's going to become one of those in history that people will look at this video out of the thousands and thousands of videos out there. This is going to be one of those ones that the world is familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
And will be used in the future the same way that those ones from the 60s that we're all familiar without even. And I'm sure there's hundreds and thousands of them from then. But
oh, yeah.
we see some of the same clips used time and time again because those were the ones that yeah. really made the statement.
Yeah. I agree. I was, you know, for a while, like you, I was constantly thrown off by, you know, people videotaping it and not
yeah.
doing something and not jumping in and doing something. And because of today's technology and just the way social media works, that is the new doing something. You know what I'm saying? And then also, it does speak to, you know, all of us engaging in this change and wanting the world to become better the way we're most comfortable. So, like, you and I in that situation, we couldn't hold a cell phone and watch.
Right.
Like, it would turn into something else. Whether right. that's to the benefit or detriment of the situation, being we just like we can't, we're not the type of person that can stand with the cell phone and just watch. Now, yeah. we would want, here's the crazy part, we would want someone to have a cell phone to take what happens to us when we get involved. So it's just about understanding and coming to terms with everyone playing their part in those yes. situations to make sure, you know, there's a complete documentation of what has happened, because these officers will lie and without consequence.
The story, that video captures the story.
Yeah.
It doesn't capture people's memory of the event.
Right.
It captures the right. actual story, which can get lost in translation depending on what mental state you were in that moment, or if you're defending yourself against the law, right? Yeah. So I think that is my understanding of that now is elevated. Now, I will say, okay, if there's a group of 10 of us, two people have their phone out, then the other eight.
Go time.
Yeah, it shouldn't be nine videos.
No.
That's what I will
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
We got the two angles that are needed on opposite sides. Cool. Yeah. The rest of y'all, figure this out.
Yeah, seriously, because that man died on camera.
Yes.
Did you see the most recent video, one of the more recent videos of the officer that did the, that was pursuing someone that was speeding, apparently?
The pregnant lady?
Yeah. Flipped the vehicle. And then during the call, he was like, he described it as that person hit the median and flipped, as if he didn't flip their vehicle.
The pit maneuver.
Hit him with the pit maneuver. Listen, the only reason I know that maneuver is from Grand Theft Auto. And they make you practice doing it.
I know it from watching Cops as a kid. Like, but it's crazy because hearing her version, it made perfect sense. She didn't speed up. She slowed down, hit her hazards.
Right.
And her, like, if you look at, there was no room. That's one of those spaces that your whole vehicle's not going to fit on that little shoulder.
That's a situation where if you pull over there and an officer is harmed because there was no safe space for him to be, you can be charged. With him standing. Oh, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. They can charge you with endangering them. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, listeners. That was a blink that you couldn't hear.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So here she is. She's, like you said, it's on the video. She's slowed down and her hazards are on. There's literally zero reason for the pit maneuver.
None. And he wasn't in any type of, like, you could tell by the way he exited his vehicle, there wasn't a hand on Yistel. It was a
right.
casual walk up. And this is what happens when you don't slow down, when you don't pull over. So there was no danger that was calling for a pit. There was nothing about that. But as you said, the story that he gave
right.
with his own dash cam.
And I'm grateful. Let me say this.
Yes.
I'm grateful for whatever layer of confidence that law enforcement has that knowing they're recording it, their belief is that it'll never reach the public's eye and they'll just lie on video. Mm-hmm. Please keep that same energy. Keep that same energy for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. There was a situation, I believe it was in, it might have been in Philly or New York or New Jersey. It was somewhere in the Northeast. Where a car was parked, the cop pulled up to the car, and opened their door. So as soon as he opened the door, the passengers pulled their phones out and just started videotaping. Mm-hmm. So now he's tussling, pulls the person out, and then the news organization edited to cut to the scene of the cop holding this person's phone, going through the gallery and deleting the video. His body cam is showing him deleting the video footage in this person's phone. What?
Go so live, the lawyer, people. Go live.
Go live. Yes, go live. So here's the thing. Go the lawyer live. For the kid that got arrested, the gentleman that got arrested, he said if they didn't recover the video, so I guess it was deleted and it was in the trash.
He didn't delete the trash.
Right. Yeah.
Shout out to Apple updating that 30-day.
Hey. So because it was still in the trash, he was able to just pull it out, got a lawyer, and they were like, if it wasn't for his ability to retrieve the video, that would have just continued? Like, this officer would just continue to delete videos whenever he felt like it to cover his tracks on his body cam? We have zero reason to trust law enforcement. Just know that.
You know, I wish I could say, this is crazy. This is unbelievable.
Right. This is so believable.
Very. Well.
Madness.
Educators take action.
Hmm.
In over 10 states, legislators have passed bills that restrict the focused teaching of historical lessons of racially violent, intense, or uncomfortable incidents like the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921, the Trail of Tears, and other episodes in a pushback against critical race theory in classes. Educators have countered with pushback of their own. In 22 cities, they're organizing protests against the legislative efforts to make teachers sidestep education about race in America. On June 12th, led by a group called the Zen Education Project, a collaboration of two nonprofits, Teaching for Change and Rethinking Schools, teachers held nationwide events like rallies or even history-oriented teach-ins in what they are calling a day of action. Our children deserve to be taught authentic, connective histories. Tamara Anderson, a member of Black Lives Matter at School, told USA Today. Indigenous, Black, Latino, Asian, and other people of color make up the fabric of what is actually America. What the educators say they are fighting against is an essential whitewashing of historical events, showing a perpetuation in America of white supremacy and systematic racism. The National Education Association, which has supported the Zen Project along with BLM at School, says it's considering legal action against legislation that would hinder how history is taught to students. The Zen Project's Day of Action held rallies in places like African American Civil War Memorial in Washington, D.C., Northside Pool in Youngstown, Ohio, where blacks were once banned by segregation. The hashtag Teach Truth has further sparked the movement. This this has been really like blowing my mind, psych, but it's been really bothering me, you know, each time I come across an article or seeing photos from some of these counter rallies. What if we are talking about history and we're teaching actual history, the things that happened? Why is that a problem? We know why. So that's definitely rhetorical, but
right.
It just amazes me that people who are educators, like you have people I'm sure are history teachers, but you're not wanting to teach the history. You're wanting to teach this version that keeps these structures and these systems in the place that they've operated in for all of these centuries and continue to make people feel like they're essentially gaslighting
right.
Anything not white.
Right.
Anything that shows any type of... What did they like the barbarians and the other there's another word I'm thinking of and it's not popping in my head, but just
Vikings.
the savages that word we've been painted to be, and then understand that every effort, the many efforts that have been made in this country to elevate as non-white, non-European, have been destroyed, essentially. The amount of just trying to annihilate an entire race after we ended the enslavement era.
Right.
because of feeling like, oh, there's no use outside of that. And the fact that this actually happened, and we like when I spoke on stories earlier, like stories get passed down. This stuff isn't that far removed. I think our concept of time be crazy sometimes, yet being a great, great grandmother, grandfather, the stories that they have when they actually were alive during these periods in these places, a part of, and I don't want to say tragedy because that makes it like, ah, but this savagery.
Yeah,
that was actually happening.
Yeah.
And the fact that we don't want to talk about that, but we'll talk about, you know, the Civil War is this great thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about the voyage to Americas and breaking bread, eating corn, and it just, like, let's...
Oh, the meat.
Why can't we be realistic about what actually happened?
Yeah.
And I mean, how are people, like, very intelligent people... Critical race theory. This isn't something that got made up in somebody's backyard.
Right.
I don't want to say
this is some QAnon conspiracy.
Yeah, right.
Might just be summed up in a Reddit thread. Right.
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 This is not that.
Right.
And the people who are, air quote, educated, who are against this, why are you against this?
So it's, you hit something earlier about, like, this conversation in relation to the power structure and how people who are against it feel like this could be detrimental to our current systems that are in place. Mm-hmm. So critical race theory, it's been like, it's a phrase everyone is becoming more and more familiar with.
Right.
To me, it's just truth. That's all we're talking about, right? So if teaching the truth is going to be detrimental to our current systems, then what does that say about our current systems? Inherently, what that draws a direct line to how bad our current systems are, that the truth would shake that up.
I thought the truth will set us free.
Man, I constantly, like, whenever someone brings it, like, just call it the truth. That's not, you know, for anyone that wants to try to, well, to me, what critical race theory means. I'm not doing that with you.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Do you think we deserve to know the truth and be taught the truth or not? Yes or no? And if you don't believe that the truth is healthy, then you need to explain that. Don't explain to me why you think critical race theory could affect blah, blah, blah. The truth. Tell me why you don't want the truth to get out. What's your personal feelings around the truth? Because this did happen. These things did happen. The Tulsa Race Massacre happened.
And they always, it's not like they skip over slavery. Like, slavery has been a part of the curriculum the whole time.
Yep.
So why will you highlight that in all levels? From like what, third grade, fourth grade on up?
Oh, yeah.
Why will you spend weeks and keep showing roots? why that? But now that we're talking about what else
happened, yes
the results, the things that amounted after that, why is that now a problem? But you'll stick to the chains and whips.
Because today is in stark contrast to that. They can very easily say, that's who we used to be. Look who we are today. No. Because of who you used to be, really look at the truth about where we are today. Mm-hmm. Not just literally, there's no one walking around with chains on. We're dealing with all different levels of oppression right now. I don't know if you peeped this, but we got, I think, what, as far as I can remember, our first racially charged critique of the station on social media. I was like, we must be doing a great job because this is what happened. So the post went up to celebrate. Shout out to The Morning Drip, our new weekly, well, no, three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Live morning show that's going to be happening soon, from 8:30 to 10:30. So someone responded
to that post on Instagram. He said, I wish there was a white radio station that could get away with saying the things this station says about being black. I guess racism is okay as long as you're not white. Needless to say, there was a dog pile on him, on this person. Like, everybody got in there. And I said, well, don't wish. You just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and make that station a reality. Unless there's a bunch of those already.
I mean, Rush? I can't hear with us no more, sorry.
Right. You know.
I mean, that list is extensive. It's Have you listened to AM Talk Radio? you can pick any 1,000, right. 1,000 and whatever. Yeah.
That was, you know what? That should have been a response. Have you heard of AM Talk Radio? It's a thing where a lot of this happens.
Yeah. It happens to be the beginning letters of America.
Yo, I definitely should have hit him with the canned classic. Have you heard of AM Talk Radio? Learn about it.
Learn about it.
Hit him with the learn about it. Like, what are you talking about, fam? What are you talking about, first off? Second off, no. Just go away. Go away.
That actually, look, I'm going to screenshot that. We're going to get that. We're going to blow that up. That's going in the office.
No, you're right. You're right.
That's getting framed in the office.
Yeah, nah, good move.
We're going to blur out the name, though, just so nobody happens to give him any traffic. Yeah, that's
And the avatar, of course, is a Trump photo on the account. It's just like, cool.
Of course.
You found us. Great. Right.
$5 says that with thorough investigation, there's a heart tattoo with an arrow through it. It says mom.
It says mom.
I got money on that.
Oh, jeez. Well, Washington is offering joints for best people to get vaccinated. The pre-rolls in the state of Washington, almost 3.7 million people are fully vaccinated, and officials are offering an incentive to help encourage even more people to get the COVID-19 inoculation. According to CBS News, Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board announced joints for jabs. That's quite the marketing solution there. Joints
as a communications manager and knowing the levels that thing, the approval that has to be. I want to know the things that didn't make the cut.
Good point.
Sorry.
Good point. No, good point. This is a state level program here. What didn't, if Joints for Jabs made it. Joints for Jabs. Let me tell you more about it. Which offers a free marijuana joint when receiving a COVID-19 vaccine starting now until through July 12th. Do you need to take the trip? I mean, you already vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm vaccinated.
Yeah.
Can we double down on go get a free joint?
And call it's probably some swap, too. I don't even say what kind of. Okay.
Right. Right. Do we get to choose? I'm more of a sativa. I lean. Is this a hybrid? What are we doing here? Indoor, outdoor. The free joints will be given out by participating cannabis retailers. Okay. The joints must be pre-rolled, do not include edibles, and customers must be 21 or older to redeem the incentive gift. The state also has a free drink promotion until June 30th for vaccinations. The Biden administration has a July 4th goal to get 70% of American adults at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. However, outlets like the Washington Post are reporting it is unlikely that goal will be reached, with fewer than 1 million people being vaccinated daily. More than 138.9 million Americans have been fully vaccinated, which is 41.9% of the population. That is not enough, people.
So right quick, so with the free drink promotion, so let's spitball ideas.
Let's do it. Let's
hen and a poke. Hen and poke. Or Jack and poke. There we go. Jack and poke.
Jack and poke.
I feel like it's a bunch of them that's gonna come to me once we get off air. But
I like the jab. I want to stick with jab. But what do you gin and jab?
Gin and jab.
Woof.
Gin and jab. Gin and jab.
Look. Hire us.
Wait a minute. Shots and shots. Shots on shots on shots on. Listen. Okay. You know what? Y'all got the wrong. Listen. When y'all need these, come to run up the numbers. We have you.
We got it.
Marketing geniuses. Shots on shots on shots. Come on. Double shot club. You can get stickers. Yeah, you know what I mean? Canned is great with the graphic design. We can get some dad caps. Like,
look, I can get y'all right.
Right.
I think there's another play, and I feel like it was Washington. I could be wrong. That was doing like a lottery joint. So some random.
Well, we're doing that here.
Here it's happening.
Yeah, Oregon.
So
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the gimmicks and it throws me a bit like anything, but is there anybody out there that was on the fence and then said, hey, for that pre-roll, I'm there.
What I've actually...
You can get 14,000 joints for like $20. So help me to understand.
You can. The pre-roll game right now is like dollar store rates. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I did, however, start to see on social media the pushback. Like, people were like, okay, they're giving out free donuts, they're entering you in a lottery, like, they're doing everything under the sun. I've never seen the government go this hard to get you vaccinated. Yeah. So it was more conspiracy theories, like, well, what's really in it?
Yeah. And at this point, I'm starting to believe the conspiracy theories, and I just want to see what I'm about to turn into. That's where I'm at. Right quick, before we jump off of this, the lady, did you see the viral video of the lady that believed that she became magnetized after taking the shot? Bro, it looks like it's a town hall meeting. She gets up there to speak. She takes, I don't remember what it was, but it was a penny. That's what it was. It was a penny, bro. So she sticks it to her neck, right? And when you're kind of sweaty.
Yeah.
So it did. Then she pulled it off and was like, yeah, what's that? And then tries to put it to the side of her face, and it will not. It just keeps falling.
You old magnet neck.
It just keeps falling. And she's like, but, huh? Explain that. She's still going hard with explaining as this joint will not stick to her face. I'm going to find the video and send it. Listeners, if y'all know what I'm talking about, flood us with it. But, yeah.
Explain that. No, ma'am, I will not. Because there's nothing to explain. Nothing. Penny is not sticking to your face.
Your neck was sweaty, ma'am.
You explain your sweaty neck, ma'am. Explain that. What? You're clammy. There's your explanation. It's called your clammy. I'm cool.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Back to format.
Yes.
Kamala Harris makes history at Capitol Pride. Kamala Harris made history over the weekend as the first sitting U.S. vice president to participate in a pride event. According to People, Harris marched through the streets of Washington, D.C. during the city's Capitol Pride parade on June 12. Harris made a statement that Saturday. We need to make sure that our transgender community and our youth are all protected. We need, still, protections around employment and housing, Harris said, according to NBC Washington. There's so much more work to do, and I know we are committed. The vice president's march went viral as the community celebrated her appearance. She also tweeted a remembrance of the 49 victims who died at the gay nightclub shooting at Pulse in Orlando, Florida on June 12, 2016. Harris's appearance at the Pride event underscores the Biden administration's commitment to LGBTQ rights. Both Biden and Harris highlighted the importance of passing the Equality Act. Biden also mentioned the act in a recent statement, acknowledging that the LGBTQ community is disproportionately impacted by gun violence, particularly transgender women of color, according to People. While they're standing by the things that they said they would do, can we figure out this student loan,
you took that off the table for me. Get on, we can circle on back to the student loan sitch. Nah. this is dope. It's frustrating to watch some of the opposition and some of the things that they have to deal with, just trying to make sure that people are treated as people, like, regardless of whether you agree with someone's lifestyle choices, gender expressions, this is still a person that doesn't requires the same amount of respect that you would, and rights that you would. Human rights are human rights, right? It's not like we're discussing, like, I don't know, like rights for rhinoceroses or something. Like, these are still human beings we're talking about. because there are people that are so confused. They're like, well, I don't know what gender this person is. You don't know what gender this person. So it's still talking about people that still demand respect and rights, right? We're not trying to figure out what to do with this particular tree that is dressed as a man. It's a person we're still talking about. This is not person. Like, a lot of these conversations, they're just not complicated. And really, you know, you bring your bias in and turn it into something else.
And just call it that and quit leaning on the Bible.
Please.
Quit leaning on these things that you don't follow in any shape, form, or fashion until it's something that you disagree with. That's one of the places and spaces that get me. I'm dealing with people as they are, always have. That's why I can operate in the places and spaces that I can. And it seems so simple. If it's not for you and that's not your thing, if I'm not like you, I just don't like you.
That's
for an action, or, you know, or just your vibe is off. But I don't care about who you humping, how you identify. None of that plays any part into my mode of operation or my daily life in living. That's the part that I don't get, of how people get so concerned with that as if it's affecting them in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Their choices are not your choices, and some of them not being a choice, right? They're what they identify and whatever it is that they present as, or want to present as and want you to identify them as. That's not really messing you up.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I've been, like, attacking these conversations. Like, I hear all of this crap y'all saying, yeah. Pause. I need you to tell me specifically how this particular issue affects you personally. I need you to tell me how misgendering someone is a thing for you to do and it makes you feel better. I need you to tell me how women's reproductive rights as a man, it's your business. I need you to explain, like, how does it affect you personally that black women are out in public wearing bonnets and you want to make a whole post about it? I ended up getting into it with a friend of mine in Philly. He's got a Instagram page. He's got like 30,000 followers. And he posted a photo of sister outside with a bonnet on, like in the store or something. And huge paragraph, all caps, just going in. And I was like, this ain't it, bro. Take this down. What we're not going to do is be out here shaming each other on Beyonce's internet. We're not doing that. You're not doing it.
So then he came back immediately. It was like, you know, do your people carry themselves like this? I said, listen. You have 30,000 followers. I need you to explain to me how shaming this sister, how shaming this sister directly benefits you. How her being outside and the way she feels comfortable, how does this bring harm to you personally? If you can't explain
respectability politics.
Yeah, take it. So, like, you know, went back and forth a little bit. A couple other people jumped in. He deleted the post. I DM'd him and was like, appreciate you. That's all I ever wanted. I just need you to take it down because you're tripping. Like, you're tripping. You're having these indoor conversations outside. Like,
and, you know, I get, this is the thing that I will put in there that, of course, with individuals, you don't, right? Mm-hmm. But we also talk about how we get grouped. And there's people who do like this, I think, operate from that space. Like, I think I've mentioned it before, not on this, but on the podcast, of being like, sometimes I'm embarrassed for other people.
Oh, no, you mentioned it over here, too.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so in that space, but that's still a personal thing. That's,
you got to ask why.
That's right. As opposed to going and being like, well, look at this.
Right.
If it's not for me, it's not for me. If it's not for you, it's not for you. That's right. If somebody else is comfortable in that, then so be it. I've seen many of pants on men that I feel like are heterosexual men that are just a extremely fitted. And like, hey, that's his jam. I can't get jiggy with it. Not my speed, right? I might have to do the Houston shuffle or something right quick.
And I can't do it.
I can't, you know? So again, that's my thing.
Right.
And so it's not going to change anything in my day. I might make a comment here or there and get a chuckle out of something. But again, that's right here.
Right.
And that's not going to go and leak, because all caps for a paragraph, that's intense, because you have to first double tap to get the all cap. And every time you hit a period, it's going to reset. Yeah. So then you had to, with that same angry finger, double tap that joint up again to get the all caps and keep running that. That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. Straight up. Going back to just like people, you mentioned something a little bit earlier about just, you know, people just using the Bible in different ways to try to defend their points, right? So Marjorie Taylor Greene is quoted as saying, COVID is a bioweapon because God would never create a fatal illness that harms people. So Pete, right? somebody tweeted that. AOC retweeted it and said, tell me you never read the Bible without telling me you never read the Bible.
What are you talking?
So here's the thing. The Republican Party is supposed to be the religious right. You know, this is all about, you know, honoring God. Now, how is it one of your champions, one of your top apostles right now, doesn't know, would go on the record and say that God wouldn't create something like this that harms people? You've read neither testament. Like, what? Not only did he do it in the Old Testament, he told you it's coming again in the New
One. Ran it back.
He's running it back.
He hit y'all with the remix of the original. What are you?
And this is what I'm saying. Like, for a great majority of these people, listen up, listeners. There are people that seek friction, they seek to antagonize you, and they don't deserve an ounce of your time. Zero. This is a legislator.
Yeah.
You are in Washington. You've been elected. You are raising some of the top dollars in the Republican Party right now. And this is what you say? Like, you're grossly unqualified. Grossly. You don't know top and bottom. You don't know. You just don't know. You just like saying inflammatory things. And just like that Instagram post, like, there are people that are just out here, that's their bread and butter. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna shake things up. I'm a free thinker.
This is almost like as bad as like people that enjoy bacon and like choose to disrespect it by cooking it crunchy. It's like, why would you, do you know bacon?
Right.
Do you know bacon?
I feel like you don't.
Then why do you want a bacon bit bar on your breakfast plate?
Or on your burger? Nobody wants that. What are you doing? On
your burger. I just wanted to end it with that. That was
No. In case y'all were confused or didn't just, you know, were kind of out of sorts about what's going on. The boys are back.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. A couple of weeks, we hit y'all with some interviews, you know. Mm-hmm. Solo effort last week. No, the boys are back. The team is back. All right?
Believe Batman.
Hello. Woo. Gothamites all in here. Oh, yes. So make sure you check in with us every week at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. as we run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Cam Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researcher and writer, Claudia Claudio.
Hey, Miles Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by Seed.
Jonathan Mattingly needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
All this for 50.
Hey!